Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text as announced is the scripture reading for this day, Psalm 142. Dear fellow redeemed, in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Several months ago, a very fine lady in a church where I've been preaching arrived just as the service was beginning. I looked out and noticed that she was wearing a hat. Since I had never seen her wear one before, after the service I made a brief compliment or comment about it, and then she proceeded to explain that she was having a very bad hair day that day, and then she proceeded to explain that they had a power outage and she couldn't use her hair dryer and so wasn't able to fix her hair properly, and was a little embarrassed about it all. Well, I think when David was writing this psalm, he was having more than a bad hair day. David, king designate for Israel, was having a real downer on that day. Life, you might say, doesn't get any worse than when you have to take refuge for your life in the very bosom of the earth itself. Psalm 142 is titled A Maskil of David, When He Was in a Cave, a Prayer. According to 1 Samuel 22, David was in the cave of Adullam. Back up to the preceding chapters, and we learn more about the circumstances for this psalm. King Saul had told his son Jonathan that David must die. And then Jonathan and David, those very close friends, met for one last time secretively. Next, David goes to the priest Ahimelech because he was without food, he was without a sword for protection, and he was all alone. And he goes to hide in the cave. This pretty much fits the literary pattern. Cave experiences aren't normally good experiences. If David had lived a little later, he would have known of Elijah retreating to a cave in despair, thinking that he was the only believer left in all of Israel. Or he might have learned of the cave on the island of the Cyclops, when Odysseus and his 12 companions landed there, went into the cave only to find Polyphemus, closing up the entrance to the cave, holding them captive, and then eating them two at a time for breakfast in the morning and dinner in the evening. Or he might have heard about Plato's cave, in which people are chained facing a stone wall, whose only reality is the images cast on the wall in front of them. In the mid-6th century, a Byzantine churchman by the name of Romanus the Melodist, not a household name in the Western Church certainly today, Romanus wrote around 1,000 hymns known as Cantacia, a literary form that he himself apparently invented. A cantacia was a type of song in which it was a sermon cast into verse form and then accompanied by music. This was, and he wrote 1,000 of these, and the one that he wrote to celebrate or commemorate the Nativity. In the preface to that one, he says, Today the Virgin gives birth to him who is above all things, and the earth gives a cave to him whom no one can approach. There and later in that hymn, Romanus pictured Christ as having been born in a cave. If he was right, and Christ became incarnate in a cave, It certainly would not have been a good experience for divinity that one stage of his humiliation should occur underground. In keeping with that tradition, David's cave experience was one of great despondency. One of the commentators on this psalm describes David's words in verse 4, "No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life," as the most dire in all of the psalms. And then David proceeds to call his cave a prison from which he is totally unable to extricate or free himself. Apart from living in a cave, David's words pretty much describe our natural spiritual condition. We are relentlessly pursued by an enemy, Satan himself, who has declared that we must die, not just temporally, but spiritually and eternally. We also find ourselves alone, without any nourishment for the soul, defenseless against the enemy, and because of our sin, we, like Adam and Eve in the garden, are ashamed to be in the presence of God and seek to hide from his law and his judgment. We may immerse ourselves in materialism as a way of avoiding the spiritual. Materialism has the advantage of deceiving us to think that we are in control and charge of our lives. Or we may avoid the spiritual issues by trying to seek self-work, self-worth in academic accomplishments, or in a ministry successful by human standards. But spiritually, we still live as in a cave, despairing of life without hope for any future whatsoever, if it depends upon ourselves. But then King David goes on and he prays to God because he knows God is his only source. And he says, "Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me." He says to God, "You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living." David knows that God is his only hope. So you and I, we cannot save ourselves. We too must be convinced by the Spirit that God is our only hope for salvation. And so we too pray for God's mercy. We also pray that he will grant and sustain the faith that enables us to trust in the merits of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If our spiritual condition is a little bit parallel to David's physically hiding in a cave, there is another cave scene that gives us some hope, and that is what we might call the sepulchral cave in which the body of the crucified Christ was laid. But this was, as we know, a cave that could not hold or contain him. This was a cave that became a cenotaph to proclaim the victory of Christ over Satan, sin, and death. If Romanus the singer was right, and the nativity did occur in a cave, then Christ's burial would be a nice symmetrical balance to it, completing the stages of his humiliation, a clear proclamation that the Son of God had risen from the dead. Nevertheless, the tomb where our Savior was laid became a cave of hope, not of despair, a symbol of life begun, not of life ended, not a place of abandonment, but a place where the communion of saints truly begins to take place, as David says in the concluding words of the psalm, "The righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me." And so by God's mercy, we are part of the communion of saints, the redeemed of God, not confined to a cave, but to enjoy our glory in the heavenly mansions. May God grant it for Jesus' sake.